Hello, dear listeners, and welcome back to Friend of the Family. We join the lovely and lethal Alice Belford in her room with her young sister Wilhelmina. Currently in between missions, our heroine is spending some quality time with Mina, showing her some of the finer points on how to accessorize.
What's that one?
Throwing dagger made of solid silver. It can stop a werewolf in its tracks. Gives you enough time to get the silver chains out.
What's that one?
Solid steel karambit for close quarter combat. Blessed by clergy from every major religion, so all my bases are covered.
How many more knives do you have on you?
Since I'm not on a mission, just 7. You never know what's about to happen, so you always want at least a few hidden knives with you. Now this cast iron stiletto I'm saving especially for...
Hey, flat rack, your mom wants to talk to you.
Alice's face curled up as if she was sucking on a rotten lemon. The typical response to hearing the vampire's voice.
I thought I ordered you to never come in my room.
The vampire gestured down to his feet, which stood just outside the doorway.
Please, you think I want to go into the room where Fun died? Well, maybe if I had another unicorn head, but...
Go away!
Trust me, the next time someone is slowly murdering you in here, I will be happy to stay out, standing right here grinning. But right now, Karen just asked me to tell you she's looking for you.
Tell Mom I'll be down in a few minutes.
Tell her yourself. I'm a centuries-old killer vampire, not a telegram service.
Please, Mr. Asmodeus. I hate it when you fight with my sister. Can you tell Mama Alice is coming? For me?
Of course, Wilhelmina, for you. I will try to be civil.
Ah, thanks, Mr. Asmodeus. You're the bestest.
Chastised, the vampire scowled and turned back into the corridor from whence he came.
Good, he's gone. Thanks, Mina.
It's okay, Alice. I can make him do pretty much whatever.
Alice continued organizing her knives and muttering under her breath. Mina, laying on the bed, looked from her sister to the now empty doorway, a question on her face.
Alice?
Yes?
When are you and Mr. Asmodeus gonna kiss?
Mina, I am never, ever kissing Asmodeus. Ever.
But you two fight all the time. And in the movies, the man and woman always fight each other, then suddenly start kissing instead. So how much more fighting do you have to do before you and Mr. Asmodeus kiss and live happily ever after?
After a brief but thorough lecture on the inaccuracy of modern rom-com tropes, Alice went to find her mother. She found Karen Belford in the library, an enthusiastic grin on her face. Alice recognized it as her mother's plan face. This did not bode well.
Alice, there you are. Come in, come in.
What's up, Mom?
Karen got up and hugged her daughter, steering them onto a couch. She gave Alice an excited, maternal smile. Alice braced herself.
Oh, Alice, you've grown up into such a strong, smart, and beautiful young woman. You deserve nothing but happiness in your life.
Thanks, Mom. I am happy with my life. Just the way it is.
Oh? You don't think there's something... missing?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you completely sure?
Yes.
Are you positively sure?
Yes.
Are you absolutely, positively, completely sure that there's...
What do you think I'm missing, Mom?
Alice, have you ever been on a date?
Alice paused for a moment, surprised by the question.
No, not really. Why?
You're a beautiful young woman in the prime of your life. When I was your age, I went out on at least one date a week. You should be out there making the most of it.
But I'm the hunter, Mom. I don't have time for dating. I have missions and training. I swore a sacred oath.
Your oath didn't include a vow of celibacy, Alice. Previous hunters devoted their lives to protecting the innocent, but they found the time to fall in love or have families. Don't you want that?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
At first, I thought you were satisfied with Asmodeus, but you've made it abundantly clear that you don't like him that way.
Or anyway.
So, if not Asmodeus, is there anyone you do like in that way?
Alice thought about it, then ultimately shook her head.
Well, the only way to find someone like that is to get out there and meet people.
I do meet people, Mom.
I mean, when you aren't on a mission and most likely going to kill them.
But...
So shouldn't you start going out on dates and meeting people? I just want you to be happy, Alice.
Sensing her daughter's hesitation, Karen started to deploy one of the more powerful weapons in any mother's arsenal, the guilt trip.
The only thing I've ever wanted is for you and Mina to be happy.
Of course, Mom, but...
I'm just so worried, Alice.
Still meeting resistance at level 1, Karen increased the guilt factor to level 2.
Every mother worries about her children, but not every mother's child is the Belford Hunter. Other mothers don't have to watch their children march into danger, never knowing if they'll come back.
Mom, I...
Karen hugged Alice tightly. Blowing right past level 2, Karen skipped level 3 and went straight to guilt level 4.
And I'm fine with it. I've made my peace with that horrible burden.
Guilt level 5! Guilt level 5! We've reached guilt level 5! This is not a drill, people! This is not a drill!
But it would help make things better if you... If you could just...
Guilt missile incoming! All hands! Brace for impact!
If you could just go on a few dates... So I can see that you're making the most of the time we have together. It would just make me so happy.
Okay, Mom. I guess I can...
Excellent. Let's pick someone for Friday.
Smiling and chipper once more, Karen excitedly pulled out a tablet she'd hidden behind a pillow and started scrolling.
Wait, this Friday?
No sense wasting time, especially in this day and age. Did you know that there are websites for dating now? All you have to do is sign up, post a profile, and then people can post messages if they're interested. It's so much faster than in my day. And look at all the messages you've got already.
I didn't sign up for any of those websites.
I'm your mother, dear. Who knows you better than me? Just look at all these responses. Here's a nice young man who says he liked what he saw on your profile.
Your profile?
And that he's very eager to meet you. Oh, look, he even attached a picture. Isn't that... Oh. Oh, my.
Ew, that's what they look like?
More or less. Although they usually build up to it first. Okay. Here's another young man who says he'd like to meet you and take you out somewhere. And then...
Why would he put it there? That just sounds painful, not to mention disgusting.
I know, dear, but if you're with the right person and looking to shake things up a bit, it's actually... You know what? Let's just keep looking. No. No. My goodness, your generation is so forward. No...
As Karen continued to navigate the gratuitous depravity of modern hookup culture, Alice grew more and more nauseated at what she'd agreed to, each viewing of male genitalia filling her with yet more dread.
I know this is too perfect.
Oh great, you've been listening the entire time, haven't you?
Vampire hearing makes us nature's best eavesdroppers, and Alice dating? The possibilities for my amusement are endless.
I assume you're going to sneak along on these dates and publicly humiliate her.
How do the modern people put it? Fucking duh. I assume you're going to try and talk me out of it.
Well, if you actually had a soul, I'd point out the cruelty and trauma you could potentially cause by interfering with one of the most important aspects of Alice's life, scarring her and her future relationships forever.
But since I don't have a soul...
I'll point out that if Alice actually does start dating... Then she'll have something else in her life besides hunting with you. She'll spend more time outside of the house, and less time ordering you around. And, if she actually does fall in love with someone, she might even want to give up being the hunter so she can start a family, and thus ending your partnership for good.
Oh, please, that's... That is a surprisingly good point. Hurting her now would be super sweet, but it might
While Asmodeus pondered his new conundrum, Alice and her mother browsed through her potential suitors. They eventually settled on a nice-looking young man named Eric. He had an athletic build, wavy brown hair, striking blue eyes, a perfectly dimpled smile, and best of all, his message contained no visible penises or sexual innuendo of any kind. Karen excitedly wrote a response, which Alice, after taking a deep breath, approved of and sent. The next Friday evening, Alice arrived at the downtown diner where she'd agreed to meet her first date. She found Eric already seated at a table, who happily waved her over. Seeing him face to face, Alice was suddenly gripped with a nervous panic. She didn't want to go over and talk to him. She just wanted to turn around and run. Run as far and as fast as she possibly could. But she had made a promise to give this her best effort and see this through. Steeling herself, she walked over to the table and gave a smile.
Hi, I'm Alice.
Eric, nice to meet you.
Thanks, you too.
You look great, by the way.
She did look great. Originally, Karen had wanted to take her out to get a fancy new dress and a full makeover, which Alice had objected to because she hated makeovers, and those fancy new dresses could hold only 5 hidden knives. 6 tops. After some intense negotiations, Alice and her mother settled on a little eyeshadow, a hint of blush, and a light blue summer dress that really brought out her eyes. And while her mother had insisted on leaving the knives out, Alice had managed to fit a small dagger in her left shoe just in case. Alice sat down at the table, and the two of them started to look at the menus, making... Oh no. What are you doing here?
Shh! I am trying to listen.
The psycho stalker vampire was indeed sitting a few tables away, listening in while hiding his face behind a menu. I take it you've come to sabotage the date.
As a matter of fact, I'm here to make sure it goes smoothly. If I hear things starting to go wrong, I can sneak in and give Alice pointers from my centuries of dating experience. By the end of this evening, those two will be completely inseparable and out of my life for good.
Then what's with the itching powder and the whoopee cushion?
That is so I can at least get a few laughs if the date is completely unsalvageable.
Okay, first of all, Alice hates you and would never take your advice in a million years. Second, even if the date doesn't work out, it needs to go well enough that Alice will want to keep dating, or she'll never try it again.
I know, but I need to do something. Help her, humiliate her. Either way, this is too big an opportunity to pass up. If I could just get some kind of a sign of what to do.
Who are you talking to?
A blonde waitress wearing heavy makeup and a low-cut top looked Asmodeus up and down with a raised eyebrow and a sultry smile.
Just a moment, my dear. It's going to look like I'm talking to myself for a moment, but focus on how handsome I am in the meantime.
Oh, okay.
How dare you judge this kind young woman on her attire?
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. Her makeup is brilliant. Should she choose to wear an amount of eyeliner you disagree with, you may kindly go fuck yourself. Her appearance is to satisfy her own taste and possibly or not to attract good-looking and virile, well, me.
Wait, I just...
You just pared down her appearance with her sexual availability and used it as a means to judge her. Should she be up for a quick romp in the supply closet, it is up to her and her alone, and her clothing does not give you leave to judge her, you big fat stupid head.
I apologize.
Besides which, of course she's going to fuck me. I'm me. And I notice you didn't mention Alice's cleavage or lack thereof, or even what sort of suit I am wearing.
Point made, I get it. Mea culpa, okay?
Good. Okay, we're back. Did you have a question?
So, have you decided what to order?
Why, yes. I think I will have you served hot and ready to go. Hold the clothes.
Sorry, hon. I don't clock out for another hour.
Oh, well, that's...
Want to make out in the stockroom till then?
So you're not going to mess with Alice's date after all?
Alice who?
What?
Nothing, beautiful. So, does your bra unclasp in the back or front?
Well, I guess that's one way to get rid of him. Though it's definitely some kind of health code violation. Anyway, let's see how Alice is doing.
So, I finally made varsity baseball this year. The game and practices take up a lot of my time, but I'm hoping it'll get me into college on a scholarship.
That's great. Good luck.
Thanks. What about you? Do you have any hobbies?
I have a job that keeps me busy.
Really? What kind of job?
It's a normal after-school job. You know, like any normal teenage girl would have. I like it, but it takes up most of my time.
And when you're not working your normal after-school job, what do you do for fun?
Alice tried to come up with an answer that wouldn't reveal too much, then ultimately shrugged.
Well, then we definitely have to do something fun tonight. How about after dinner we go see a movie?
I don't really go to movies.
I know a few theaters around here that are performing tonight. Some of the plays have gotten good reviews.
I don't go to plays either.
Okay, want to just hang out at the mall?
I don't like shopping and I hate malls.
Wow. In that case, the park! Want to just go and walk around the park? It's beautiful at night.
Okay, I guess the park could be fun.
Unless you'd rather go to an underground no-rules martial arts melee competition tonight.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a secret tournament where a bunch of contestants fight each other in a ring all at once. No rules, no weapons, last one standing wins. Well, tonight it's couples night, so it's the last couple standing. Actually, if we leave right now, we could be there in time to sign up and compete ourselves. What do you say?
That sounds great. I say let's go.
All right, I'll just pay for our drinks. Have you seen our waitress? It's like she just disappeared.
Oh, you're hotter than a pepper plant on a hot Atlanta morning in the summer.
So that accent is fake, right?
I work in a diner. It's expected.
Ah.
Should I drop it?
Say, oh God, Asmodeus.
Oh God, Asmodeus!
I like it. Keep it.
Why are we watching this? I hate that guy. Anyway, Alice and Eric managed to arrive at the tournament just in time to register. The two of them entered the ring together, along with six other battle couples, everyone sizing each other up. Immediately after the bell rang, the crowd cheered and the fight was on. Alice, of course, was as great as ever. Most of her opponents were older and bigger, but were still human. And Alice had been training most of her life to take down creatures that were much tougher and stronger. But Eric proved to be a surprisingly skilled martial artist for a normal high school student. Within half an hour, the two of them proved victorious, Eric having taken down almost, though not quite, as many as Alice. After the crowd dispersed, Alice and Eric walked back to their cars. They were sweating, panting, and Alice's nice blue dress was covered with bloodstains that admittedly made for an interesting pattern. But the two of them were elated from their victory.
Well, here's my car.
Yeah. I had a good time, Alice. I hope you had one, too.
I did. I really did.
It was true. The doubts and fears Alice had felt at the start of the date were gone, and her current smile was completely genuine.
Good. In that case, I have something to ask you.
Yeah?
Alice, will you give your heart to me?
What?
I said, will you give your heart to me?
Look, Eric, I did have a good time tonight, but I don't think I feel that way about you.
You don't? You're not giving me your heart.
No.
But that's impossible. How are you resisting?
I told you I don't feel that way, and this sudden ego trip isn't helping.
Eric just stared at her in genuine confusion, as if seeing something alien and physically impossible. Finally, he just turned and left, occasionally looking back at her with that same confused expression. Alice stood there, bewildered and with a sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach, before she eventually got in her car and drove home.
Well, 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 someone's coming home late.
Alice had hoped to quietly enter the house and go up to her room. Instead, she found a grinning Asmodeus blocking her path, and a grinning Mina, and a grinning Karen, all sitting in dining room chairs expectantly.
Mom? Mina? This asshole?
Welcome back, honey. How was it? We want details.
Is your face sore from kissing?
Gross, but is it?
Shut up, Azzy.
Aw, but I wanted to hear about it.
We're just so happy for you.
Guys, I just want to go to bed.
Alice, you've come home late covered in sweat. You can't be this crabby if the date went that well.
It didn't go well. Go away.
Sometimes things happen a little early, and that's fine. There are other things to do. It's sort of like a race, but it doesn't really matter who gets there first as long as everyone gets there in the end.
Huh?
I'll explain.
Not now. Not for a while.
Anyway, just get back on that horse and ride it as hard and as fast as you can. And if you need some tips with the foreplay, there's this thing I do with my tongue.
Shut up!
What? Are you embarrassed? Well, don't be. You're a strong woman doing something perfectly natural, and don't let anybody judge you for it. Now, come on, let's turn that walk of shame into a stride of pride, or as I like to call it, a slut strut.
We didn't have sex, Azzy.
Asmodeus finally stopped for a second, and saw from Alice's expression that she was telling the truth. Karen and Mina exchanged worried looks.
Did you kill him? I was wondering about the blood on your clothes.
No, I didn't kill him. He just left, and I don't want to see him again.
Mina, I think you should go to bed now.
But...
I'll come and tuck you in a little later. But go to bed. Now. Alice? Honey? Are you okay? Did something happen?
Nothing happened. He was just a creep.
Alice, please. I can't help it if you don't tell me what happened.
Help me? Why the fuck would you want to help me?
Because I care about you?
Don't you fucking dare!
I care, Alice. Please. Just tell me what happened.
Like I said, nothing. Mom, it's fine, really. I just want to go to bed.
If you're sure, honey.
I'm sure. Good night, Mom. Go fuck yourself, asshole.
You see what being nice gets me?
Asmodeus, dear, shut up.
Alice climbed up the stairs, slowly, before turning the knob in her bedroom door. Her feet felt heavy. After entering her room, she laid down on her bed and stared at the ceiling. She stared at the ceiling and thought, her expression blank as though deeply lost in thought. And that, dear listeners, is where we leave her, contemplating something other than supernatural horror for a change. Wait, did we get any supernatural horror or other weird stuff this episode? Was it really just about Alice's date? That seems odd. But it is the end of the episode. Well, tune in next time, folks. Really feels like we're missing something here.
This is Alice, and I can't believe Uncle Lawrence is making me do another one of these. This has been Friend of the Family, a strange and unusual production. If you want to hear me kick some ass, check us out on iTunes, where you can like and review us.
Please base your reviews on how awesome I am and not how stupid Alice is.
Shut up! There's also the website strangeandunusual.com.
I prefer snu.wtf or snu.horse.
Listen, do you want to do this?
Not particularly.
Ugh. You can also find us on Facebook at Strange and Unusual Productions or on Twitter at FriendOTFamily. Can I go now?
Please do. Forever.
Asmodeus!
What?
Whoa. C-Pair's here, and I just want to reassure you guys, we're not the kind of assholes that are going to make you wait a month for a two-parter. We're a completely different kind of asshole altogether. So stay tuned for next week when we'll be showing the part 2 of this Friend of the Family two-parter. Okay, thanks. Bye.